This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. As of yesterday, September 27th at noon, it's been reported that there were 40 deaths, 95 case notifications of methanol poisoning, 7 of which in critical condition. Now, in the studio with us to give us an update as to what's going on in this area of methanol poisoning is Leong Siew Hong. He's the Director of Policy, Strategic Planning and Codex Standard, Food Safety and Quality Division of Ministry of Health, and also Datin Dr. Ranjini Sivagan. She's head of Emergency and Trauma Department Hospital Shah Alam. She's an emergency physician, emergency medicine and emergency toxicology from the Ministry of Health. Welcome to the show, both of you. How are you today?
I'm fine.
I just want to quickly, go through this. What is actually methanol poisoning? How does it affect those who are actually poisoned, Dr. Ranjini?
What it does basically is the patient, after consuming any type of alcohol which has been contaminated with methanol, is that they start to have vomiting and diarrhea, and then they may have some abdominal pain. This can be within an hour to 6 hours. And after that, they may go into a latent period where they actually may be drowsy or sleepy because they're drunk. And at this time, the poisoning actually gets worse, but they don't have very many symptoms. And then the full-blown poisoning starts, the toxicity starts. They start to have difficulty breathing. And depending on how much they took, they may even have seizures or they may be comatose.
Wow. Okay. So you think you're drunk, but after a while, it sort of takes a life of its own. And then it destroys you in a way and it can lead to death. Why is it some people die and some people don't?
It all comes back to how much you took. So you can have a group of friends who were drinking together. You can have one person who took 10, 15 drinks and another person who just took 2 drinks. So the dose makes the poison. The guy who took 10 to 15 drinks is definitely going to be more poison than someone who just took 2 or 3 drinks. And that's one of the reasons why some patients don't even make it to the hospital. And that latent period where they're very drunk and they're just sleeping, they appear to be just sleeping to people who are with them. So they don't even know that the person is really ill. And next thing you know, they're having seizures and they can't be woken up. And by the time they get to the hospital, it's just too late.
Leong, is this the first time or have we gone through this before? Have we gone through this issue of methanol poisoning in Malaysia?
I think this is not the first time. As far as the poisoning of the due to methanol is concerned in this country, it has happened before. In the year 2013, we have 44 poisoning cases. Then 2016, we have 8 cases, and 2017 we have 5 cases.
And most of the time we've gone through this because of unregulated alcohol that, has been in distribution in the country. Is that the only reason?
Yeah, with regard to unregulated alcohol, there are always pockets of people who try to capitalize on the market. This is a very lucrative market as far as some of these fraudsters are concerned. They will adulterate. They will make their own alcoholic beverages. They will adulterate it by adding methyl alcohol, which is a simpler form of the alcohol. Methanol, anyway, is an alcohol, but it's the simplest with a single carbon. As opposed to ethanol is safe, which is actually the natural productions of the fermentation that produces the alcoholic beverages, which is safe. But in the case of poisoning, more often than not, the people, they will abuse it. They will adulterate this ethanol with methanol. By the way, methanol, you cannot see the difference. Anyway, it's colorless and it's almost it blends well. So people has taken advantage of this and, they try to profit from it.
Is it because it's cheaper? What does it do in place of ethanol? Saying ethanol is more expensive?
Yes, you're right. It is cheaper because those are industrial solvents and readily available in big quantity, so they can add it, they blend it. Oftentimes, when they blend it wrongly, that's where the thing gone very badly. But even they blend it, in a small amount, still people will suffer some kind of poisoning. So as far as our regulation is concerned, we don't allow any of the blending, any of the methanol being added. That is, as far as the rule of law is concerned, we are very clear about that.
So as of September 27th, we've had 95 cases, 22 Malaysians, 33 Nepalis, 21 Myanmarese, 10 Bangladeshis and 4 Indians and 1 Indonesian. Now, I've been reading in the world, when it comes to methanol poisoning, it always seems to affect people of the lower economic strata. What are we doing about the existence of adulterated liquor, you know, cheap liquor in the country? And we've known that this problem has existed for a long time.
They are always a shady deal. You know, they sell it in the outlet, which predominantly patronized by this smaller, poorer strata of the community. Often, they are not very visible. And even they are visible, some of these products are not likely to be on shelf. And as far as the regulating the alcohol is concerned, there are several ministries involved here. One of those custom and Ministry of Health. Ministry of Health will regulate in terms of the standard, the percentage of the product which is in compliance with our law. You know, here we are talking about ethanol. You know, when you sell whiskey must have 37.5% of this ethanol, failing which you cannot label as whiskey. As for beer, it must be more than 2%. So if anything less, it should be labeled as shandy. So each category of alcoholic product has got a certain standard to be met. When I say standard, it means ethanol, you know, and brandy, again, you have different level of ethanol to be met. So as far as custom is concerned, they license the outlet. So whether they have illicit alcohol or not, custom will be in the forefront because they license the outlet. But should we come across those outlets, we may take sample and test it against our standard. And in this case, it's methanol. We may even take and test for the presence of methanol. Methanol is not allowed in the alcoholic beverages.
Do you think we're doing enough to take it off the shelves?
Yeah, we are constantly monitoring those things together. And here and now, we are working closely with the police has come in and the custom. So we are trying our best to catch the perpetrator. As long as you have perpetrators who tend to do this, they will resurface from time to time. So as the enforcement goes now, many of these products are no more. They have taken off the shelf. Many of them has hide the product.
Because there's a clamp down now.
Right, the clamp down. Mm-hmm. So even the custom and the police and together with us, we noticed that many of the outlets, they have taken away a lot of this product implicated in the poisoning.
Yeah. Have we seen a slowdown in the number of cases, Dr. Ranjini?
Yes, we have. I think public health did a very good job. Very early on, they were very aggressive. Once we reported the first few cases, they immediately went out and started to do the control measures. They contacted the friends of these patients who had come in early on. So we were able to bring them in, which is why you saw a sudden spike. Mm-hmm. That was because they were being called in. Because if you treat them early, they can recover without any long-term side effects. They did a very good job. Within a week, we already saw a slowing down of the number of cases. But I think I just need to emphasize here that a lot of this alcohol, which is adulterated with methanol, is sold illegally. You're not going to find it in a shop that is running properly.
It's, with a proper it's license.
It's like hidden. And all. Mm. They will have it behind the store somewhere. And the way they make it also is just, it doesn't follow any rules or regulations. So this can make it very difficult for the police and if our authorities to regulate. So that's the big problem.
So when people come through early, what do you do at the hospitals to help them recover from this?
Okay, what we do first is we check that they're breathing properly, that they're not in shock. So we do resuscitation. And then we can give them antidotes. The antidotes that we have is surprisingly ethanol. So we actually
gave... Wow. Yeah. On a chemical level, I want to know what's happening there. But carry on.
Because what happens is both ethanol and methanol are metabolized by the same enzyme, which we call alcohol dehydrogenase. Ethanol gets converted to carbon dioxide and water, which is perfectly safe and our body can eliminate easily. But methanol gets converted to formaldehyde.
Oh dear.
Yes. And this formaldehyde is very, very rapidly converted to formic acid. So you have this acid in your body and we can't tolerate a very acidic environment in our body. Our normal pH is about 7.35 to 7.45. You have this acid, it accumulates, it gets worse and worse. The patients who died, they had their pH, blood pH was at 6.8, 6.5, very acidic. So when we give the ethanol, what we're doing is competing with the methanol.
Right.
So that methanol can't get converted. Methanol by itself is not really toxic.
Right. So the enzymes fight to, metabolize the methanol, the ethanol and the methanol. What happens to the methanol?
The methanol can get excreted out naturally, but in some cases where the patient is already very ill or they have taken very high amounts of methanol, we need to do dialysis as well. When you do dialysis, you're doing two things. You're removing the methanol and you're removing the acid. But the problem, of course, is that dialysis is, the machines are limited, so we can't do it for too many patients. So sometimes what we may do is give them the blockers, we call them blockers, ethanol or formipizole, that's another antidote, until we can get them to a dialysis machine. Some patients who are not too toxic, they can just be managed with the ethanol infusion.
You know, Leong, how much do we know so far? Dr. Ranjini has said the number of cases have slowed down, but where are we at the moment in terms of investigations, in terms of, you know, and in geographical areas, which places have been affected the most?
We try to cast our net as wide as possible. It is in view that seriousness of the nature of the poisoning and number of death cases. So when I say cast the net as wide as possible, I mean the whole country, right up from the north, Perlis, right up to Sabah, Sarawak. So the ongoing investigation so far has yielded quite a number of seizure. We have confiscated the number of bottles of liquor. All in all, until today, 28th of September, about 5,966 bottles. The number of premises we have inspected and investigated come to 1,681 premises as of today. Of course, the investigation is still ongoing. Naturally, the number of premises we inspect now, we find lesser and lesser of those implicated products, and very often we find none in some places. Now, of course, the largest area are in Selangor and KL, but some in Negeri and in Perak, yes. Many of these actually, they operate, as what earlier Datin said, they operate illegally, making it hard for the enforcement agency like Ministry of Health, Custom, and the police to find them. Only those who regularly bought those products, they know exactly where to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And are we planning to increase this level of, enforcement going forward? I mean, were we lax in enforcement in the last couple of years since the last cases? I mean, what's happened?
Now, of course, the enforcement is ongoing. Of course, the enforcement on the alcoholic beverages, especially the whiskey, because here we have the data to show whiskey are the one that had been implicated. And there are two brands implicated, tested and confirmed to have 16% to 17% of methanol, which is
wow.
Very, very high.
Wow, that's
yeah,
a lot.
Even 0.1% it can cause blindness and yeah. Coma and death. So naturally, the enforcement will continue to keep up the pace. And for those products we found contravened, of course, if we get the perpetrator, it will be charged in court. But as far as the product is concerned, we have confiscated and we will do due diligence to the product, and either we destroy them or we will just get a court order
to get it destroyed in the dumping ground. Yeah.
And this is regulated under the Food Act 1983 and the Food Regulations 1985?
Yes, under the Food Act 1983, Section 13, whoever found violating the law can be charged and fined up to 100,000 and jail term up to 10 years or both. And then as far as seizure of the products are concerned, we act according to our law. So our law provides us the power to confiscate, to seize the product under Section 4.1F, which is provided in the under proviso of the Food Act 1983.
You know, Dr. Ranjini, if we do suspect that somebody has in fact is experiencing methanol poisoning, what do we actually do? It's going to be a tough one because you don't know whether they're just drunk or, you know, what's actually going on.
Actually, for doctors now, we're much more aware of methanol poisoning, especially in migrant workers. So when we get a patient who comes in with very severe, we call it metabolic acidosis, it's because of the formic acid. There are a few different causes for that condition. But when you go through the history and you do some other tests, usually the history is very important. If they tell us he was very well, no diabetes, no past medical illness, and then he went out, he had some drinks, and now he's like that, then we will have a very strong suspicion of methanol poisoning. So we start the treatment and we immediately notify by phone. So we call up public health and they will immediately go and investigate. At the same time, we take samples of blood and urine and send them to a lab to confirm our diagnosis. So from the hospital side, that's what we have to do.
Would you have a message for us on methanol poisoning?
Well, if you're going to drink alcohol, be suspicious if it's very, very cheap and look at the bottle. Sometimes what they do is they get a bottle that the brand is actually well established. In fact, I think Kingfisher, some of the other brands, they were saying that they do not add methanol into their whiskey.
I was surprised. I was surprised when I actually saw some of the brands actually.
Yeah. So one of the things that they may do is actually take these empty bottles and fill it up with their own homebrew. And what I think might have happened this time is that the homebrew just went off and it had too much methanol in it. So I suspect they've been selling it a long time. Maybe there was mild poisoning, so they would just had some vomiting, diarrhea, and it resolved. But in this case, there was just too much methanol, so they developed very bad poisoning, and that's why we had so many cases.
I'd like to add on to the point that as far as home brew is concerned, we advise the people, the consumer, not to home brew it, because the home brew condition, it is open. It can be subject to contamination with various microbes. Fermentation require the presence of yeast, Saccharomyces, to produce the alcohol, ethanol, under the controlled environment, which all the brewery, they will do it very carefully under the controlled environment. They are not subject to any foreign microbe. So it's strictly under control and they produce a safe amount of this ethanol. Now, against homebrew is different. Homebrew, even though they may use yeast, but then they are also subject to other microbes because it is uncontrolled environment. These are the ones that are responsible for the formation of the methanol because basically some of these grain, they contain the pectin. So the pectin, when they break down, they will form this methanol. So due to the presence of this microbe. So our advice to the consumer is not to produce their own homebrew liquor. And if should they want to buy from the outlet, they must buy from the proper outlet that has got license from the custom and they have a proper label.
Is there a number to call if we suspect cases of distribution?
Yeah, they can always call the, our Ministry of Health. It's always in the website, even contact our Ministry of Health, even in the Facebook page. Yeah, they can always get to us.
Okay, thank you both very much for joining me today. That was Leong Siew Hong, a Director of Policy, Strategic Planning and Codex Standard Food Safety and Quality Division, Ministry of Health, and Datin Dr. Ranjini Sivaganabalan, Head of Emergency and Trauma Department, Hospital Shah Alam. She's also an emergency physician, emergency medicine and emergency toxicology from the Ministry of Health. On the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.